Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, here are some articles from Greater Good. How your doctor can influence your health mindset. How we think about medical treatment affects our health and recovery. Can doctors talk to us in ways that influence that? By Madeline Rensell, March 15, 2024. A new study from Stanford University, published in January in Patient Education and Counseling, evaluates the effectiveness of patient mindset training on provider learning and behavior. Past research shows what patients think, believe, or expect regarding medical care can influence care outcomes. Patients also have better outcomes when they have more adaptive mindsets about their treatments. For example, this treatment will be effective. Their bodies, for example, my body is capable, and illnesses, for example, diabetes is manageable, and their care team, for example, I am in good hands. Patient mindset can be influenced by the attitudes and encouragement given by care teams, from front desk staff to clinicians. In the interest of leveraging the potential power of mindset in medical care, researchers from Stanford University developed and conducted a Medicine Plus Mindset training at 5 Bay Area primary care clinics. The researchers delivered the 2-hour training and then conducted a follow-up session 1 month later to reinforce the training. Afterward, participants reported a better understanding of mindset and a greater appreciation for its influence, and reported using the training when communicating with patients. Lead author Carrie Leibowitz and senior author Alaya Crum, associate professor of psychology in the School of Humanities and Sciences, both of from the Stanford Mind and Body Lab, have extensive experience researching how patient mindset affects health outcomes. In this research, they and their co-authors hoped to evaluate how medical care teams would respond to and implement patient mindset training. The goal of what we're trying to do is say these mindsets do actually matter for things like patient experience and patient satisfaction, said Leibowitz, but they also matter for objective things like patient health outcomes. Care teams have an intuitive sense that their patients' mindsets matter, and in their best moments, they are shaping patient mindsets for the better, said Crum. But they don't often realize the science behind just how important mindsets are. They also typically don't have a framework for how to identify those mindsets and cultivate them in their patients skillfully, ethically, and deliberately. Patient mindsets affect healthcare outcomes. Mindsets are core assumptions that we have about things in the world and how they work, said Leibowitz. Medicine is effective, medicine is harmful. Cancer is a catastrophe. Cancer is an opportunity. These mindsets, said Leibowitz, can cause a cascade of psychological processes, which can positively or negatively affect patient outcomes. As such, small changes in a care provider's words can change a patient mindset for the better. For instance, a provider might say, the vast majority of patients do not experience side effects from this treatment, instead of, a small percentage of patients experience side effects from this treatment. Additionally, when treating a patient with a chronic illness, such as diabetes, a provider might say, this diet has really worked for people in your situation, instead of simply prescribing the diet. If a patient is experiencing side effects of a treatment, they might benefit from knowing that those could be signs that the treatment is working, not merely an unfortunate consequence. However, medical care staff generally receive no formal training on shaping patient mindsets. In this study, a team of researchers and clinicians delivered the Medicine Plus Mindset training to primary care staff, including all members of the care team, from physicians to front desk staff. The training included information about strategies and opportunities for shaping patient mindset and tips for communicating warmth and competence, and care teams were encouraged to share their experiences seeing mindset affect patient outcomes, training care teams to change patient mindsets. The team first conducted a pilot study, delivering the training to 27 staff members at two Bay Area clinics. After completing training development, they delivered the training to 186 staff members at Stanford Primary Care and in a primary care clinic within the Alameda Health System. The Medicine Plus Mindset training differs from standard medical communication training in that it doesn't focus on specific scripts. Instead, it focuses on underscoring the value of mindsets in shaping health outcomes and providing high-level frameworks for which mindsets matter the most. One thing that I like about the Medicine Plus Mindset program compared to scripted responses is that it creates some flexibility for me to understand who I'm speaking to, said Larry Kwan, a study co-author and clinical assistant professor at Stanford Medicine. Scripting doesn't allow for that. The researchers taught care teams that they ultimately want to help patients cultivate useful mindsets about their treatment, the capability of their care team, their bodies, and their illnesses. The care teams also work together to share ways that they have successfully changed patient mindsets in the past. We are mindset experts, but all of the providers are experts in their jobs and in providing patient care, said Leibowitz. The tool is meant to be used flexibly, and these team members can draw on their own experience, insight, and wisdom to figure out ways to deploy it. Evaluating care team experiences. After the initial training and follow-up session, the researchers evaluated the training by assessing self-reported care team reaction directly after the training, learning outcomes before and 1 month after the training, and behavior before and 1 month after the training. Participants overwhelmingly reported the training as being both very enjoyable and very useful. They also reported increases in the belief that patient mindsets influence healthcare outcomes and in their ability to shape patient mindsets. After the training, our participants felt like they were better able to recognize and shape patient mindsets in practice, said Leibowitz. In the weeks following training, care team members reported using the training to shape patient mindset. They also reported increased satisfaction in their own jobs. The research team also anecdotally noted that the training was particularly helpful to those in non-provider roles, such as medical assistants. They play a really big role in the encounter, but maybe don't always feel like they have the opportunity to make a big difference, said Leibowitz. A lot of them reported feeling like now they can really see how their words and actions make a difference. Future research. While care teams reacted positively to the training, there are limitations. High medical staff turnover could limit the effectiveness of the training, and busy schedules could limit the time available for training. However, physicians and care teams still rate the training highly. Future areas of study include evaluating the effects of mindset training on patient health outcomes and implementing the training outside of primary care. Patient mindsets are being shaped from the moment they walk in the office to how they are treated at the pharmacy, said Crum. That's why we wanted the training to be as inclusive as possible. We all have a role to play. About the author, Madeline Rensel is a news intern at Stanford News Service. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. How embracing uncertainty can improve your life. A new book argues that being unsure can help us learn, improve our mental health, and reduce polarization. By Jill Suddy, March 11, 2024. Life is uncertain. We never know what will happen, and many things are unknowable. This can make us feel stressed or worried, since the unknown is associated with danger. But as journalist Maggie Jackson argues in her new book, Uncertain: The Wisdom and Wonder of Being Unsure, there are many benefits to allowing ourselves to be unsure about what's happening or what will happen. Embracing uncertainty is tied to easier learning, better decision-making, responding well in a crisis, improved mental health, and warmer social relationships, even during difficult social interactions, like crossing political divides. When we can let go of sureness, look beyond what we already know, stay curious, and listen to dissent, we can often come up with better solutions to the problems that we encounter. We spoke with Jackson about her book. Here is an edited version of that conversation. Jill Suddy. Most of us think of being uncertain as a weakness or even a flaw, for example, when it comes to leadership. But your book argues it's a strength. How so? Maggie Jackson. We have a very negative view of uncertainty. We largely see it as paralyzing. But actually, uncertainty is, first of all, a kind of good stress. When we meet something new ambiguous, or unexpected, we have a stress response, both physiological and neural, that allows the brain to be more receptive to new data. Our attention broadens and our working memory improves. It's a kind of wakefulness that's really important, giving us the opportunity to learn. Secondly, uncertainty is not just a spur to better thinking. It is also an opportunity to investigate, to open up the space between question and answer. Studies find that uncertainty is really important or helpful for negotiation or for arguing. For example, you could make better arguments when you are not completely closed-minded and certain. Being unsure is also related to deeper deliberation. The adaptive expert is someone who is able to recognize and utilize their uncertainty to investigate a crisis or a problem or a new situation. Uncertainty does slow us down, but that slowing allows us to uncover mistakes, especially in social situations. It allows for more accuracy. It's linked to better collaboration, more creative, inclusive, open-minded group thinking, and other benefits like that, basically through the airing of differences. Good conflict isn't necessarily about the triumph of one side over the other or the victory of a dissenting opinion. Frequent respectful dissent and disagreement, even if wrong, produce performance gains in groups because the group is jolted into a kind of wakeful questioning and skeptical uncertainty. This flies in the face of a lot of pressures today to all get on the same page, for example, by hiring for fit or emphasizing that we are family. As scientist Sam Summers says, a lack of diversity leads to lazy information processing. In contrast, uncertainty sparked by disagreements helps us learn from, not hide from, difference. Jill Suddy, is there research on how uncertainty affects personal well-being? Maggie Jackson, there's a really interesting connection between curiosity and uncertainty and well-being. Highly curious people tend to share a quality that researcher Todd Kashdan calls stress tolerance, or a capacity to tolerate the stress of the unknown. It's awkward to ask questions. It's uncomfortable to stick your nose into the unknown. But people who are highly curious tend to be willing to withstand the discomfort that it takes to explore the unknown. Curious people who can tolerate the stress of uncertainty are more willing to express dissent at work and are actually more engaged at work. They tend to have more pleasurable moments in life and higher life satisfaction. When you're open and curious to all of life, both the good and the bad parts, you can thrive. Secondly, clinical psychology researchers like Michael Dugas in Canada are treating patients with anxiety by bolstering their tolerance of uncertainty. In brief, Uncertainty tolerance is a personality disposition that relates to how you view the unknown. People who are intolerant of uncertainty see uncertainty as a threat, while those who are more tolerant of uncertainty see it as a challenge. Targeting tolerance for uncertainty is one of the more promising new treatments for many mental disorders, because the fear of the unknown is beginning to be seen as a root vulnerability factor for mental disorders. Such interventions jump off from exposure therapy and teach people practical ways to try new things, to work at the edge of the known. Some patients, for instance, try to delegate more at work. By doing so, they can learn that their predictions about uncertainty bring a disaster are often wrong. Jill Suddy, what affects our willingness to be uncertain? Maggie Jackson, uncertainty tolerance is both a personality trait and a state. In other words, it's both innate, people tend to dislike the unknown to varying degrees, and yet it is also situational. In the latter case, when people are tired, when they're pressed to give an answer, when they're suffering from information overload, those are all times when, no matter where they lie on the spectrum of tolerating uncertainty, they tend to want an answer, any answer. Some leading psychologists, including Nicholas Carrollton, believe that our devices may be correlated with rising uncertainty intolerance. For example, one of Carrollton's studies suggests that increased adoption of cell phones and the internet over time is related to rising intolerance of uncertainty in young people. More work needs to be done on that. But anecdotally, we live in a certainty-seeking culture, and this may be bolstering our fear of the unknown. Jill Suddy, what can we do to fight these pressures? Maggie Jackson, we need to be more educated, both individually and more formally, about what uncertainty is. We're operating with extremely outdated ideas of this mindset, shaped by hundreds of years of industrial and then technological pressures to be efficient. The pressure to know and to judge ourselves and others only by outcomes squeezes out the valuing of process. Times when we might need a moment to reconsider a situation and inhabit the question rather than racing to an answer, any answer. It's important to be attuned to the signal that uncertainty gives when you confront something new, that it is time to update your understanding of the world. One recent study out of the University of Washington did qualitative interviews with doctors after they'd finished a clinical shift and asked them about the sticky moments in their day. And the researchers found that the physician's discomfort of uncertainty was correlated with a heightened monitoring of the situation and more of a tendency to look ahead to define and muster the resources needed. Through this study, we are reminded that the unease of uncertainty is actually a gift. Picking up on uncertainty's invitation to learn involves leaning into uncertainty. First, if you're expecting life to be familiar, unchanging, you're going to be missing out. Also, people who are stressed in highly unpredictable situations, who are leaning into the stress of uncertainty without being overwhelmed, are actually able to perform better. Some studies show that people who are taught that the stress of the unknown, the stress of making a presentation or a school exam, is equipping them to perform better, actually, become more effective in these challenging situations. That's a kind of uncertainty tolerance. Jill Suddy, how is allowing for uncertainty helpful in social situations, in particular across difference? Maggie Jackson, there's a lot of work now on perspective taking, a cognitive form of empathy where you try to imagine how someone else sees the world. It's been linked to being willing to sit closer to someone whom you are threatened by, such as a convicted murderer or another outcast, maybe a drug user. And it's linked to being willing to engage with them and with others of their kind. In other words, there's a spillover effect beyond the individual to other members of the same group. At the root of perspective taking is making yourself uncertain, loosening categorizations that come so easily to us, the labels that we unconsciously place on others in an outgroup, which have so many implications for how we behave with one another. Perspective taking involves a leap of imagination. You cannot really know someone else's perspective. It is an act of deliberate perplexity. You have been listening to Greater Good Magazine, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.